Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Yeah! Some things are still normal. All right, let's bring this home now. That's what we're all doing. Slow ride. A slow ride together. Take it easy. We're just chilling together. Slow ride. Figuring out a way. Take it easy. To make sense of the madness that envelops us. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Final hour of our broadcast week. Maybe. I don't know. I'll jump on any time. We did a special Sunday night broadcast last weekend. If there's any big news, we'll jump right on. I do want to give a special thanks to my producer, Nicole Thompson, who's in the station every day, putting all this together. And it's much, much more challenging when we're not face-to-face and when we're doing everything via remote. And then our board ops, Andrew Enzel and Sean DeTore. I know it's tougher for you guys when we don't have the usual communications. Sean, nice job. I appreciate everything you guys are doing here.
Thanks, Dory.
Yeah, thanks. It feels like doesn't it feel like we should get hazard pay out of this, Sean?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. So how many people are in the building? Is it just a ghost town there?
Pretty much. I think maybe 10. But even the other stations, key cards were turned off. They banned everybody from the station except for our show staff, specifically the reporters, and a couple board ops for the other stations. Everybody else is banned.
Yeah.
Key cards off.
Yeah, and I talked about this a few days ago, but we are, deputized by the federal government. We're the emergency broadcast station. And if there are any, every once in a while people hear this is a test. I used to get so scared back in the 60s of the emergency broadcast system tests because they would play. I'd be at home. I was 4 or 5 years old, and TV was everything that I had. And I remember watching Brakeman Bill. Everybody talks about J.P. Patches, who was my dear friend. But you got to really be an old-time Seattleite to remember Brakeman Bill, who was on Channel 11. And he would play cartoons in the afternoon. He had a train engineer outfit. And I just remember every time, because we would hear, let's go back to some of the crises of the past. When I was a kid, and Nicole and Sean, you guys are going to have trouble even imagining this, I think. But in Ballard, down at Shilshol, there was an air raid siren. And it would go off, and it was either Wednesday or Thursdays at noon, and I don't remember which, but I'd be out on the playground at Webster Elementary, and the air raid siren would go off because the very real threat back then, mid-60s, was that we were going to get into a nuclear war with Russia, the Soviet Union. And so we had air raid sirens that would go off. We did duck and cover, where they would teach all the kids to climb under our desk, because if an atomic bomb is dropped on our school, if you're under your desk, you'll be fine. It won't hurt you there. It only hurts the people who aren't under a desk. But I mean, those were the fears and realities when I was a kid. was, you know, nuclear war and all of that. But and now I'm a dad, and my kids for the first time are going through some global reality. But this is more real. The, you know, the duck and cover and the Soviet, you know, atomic war, that was something that probably was never going to happen. This is something we're in the midst of.
Well, we had some
right
of that
now.
With the terrorism. I mean, the fear of terrorism. I mean, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
We had a little bit of that with 9/11. I mean, I was out of high school at that
yes.
point, but there, I mean, we were scared to go to the malls right there mm-hmm. after 9/11. But definitely this is different because it feels like we're being sort of eased into it. And that is definitely different than sirens and things on the beach. I don't have that kind of perspective.
And that's where I think people still do not grasp the possible severity of what is still ahead. And I'm talking about an overwhelming of our medical system and continued economic, if not devastation, horrible challenges. And I know a lot of you who are listening right now that you're dealing with that. You don't know where you're, you know, maybe you're out of work now because you worked retail or you're a waiter or a waitress and you don't know where your paycheck's going to come from. And so, yeah, this is all unprecedented. And I was checking all the text messages and somebody said, you know, Dory, this is so unnerving for our kids because they've been told their whole life that government is the answer to all of their problems. And now they're discovering that government can't really do anything about this. And government can help guide us through, and government can minimize impact in a lot of ways. But I'm really glad that that person wrote that because, and I said this a few days ago, and if there's one message that I want to reinforce, and this has been a message of this radio show from the first day I went on the air, and it's that nobody's going to care about your life in government the way you care about your life, and you got to take care of yourself, and you can't hope that, you know, government taking somebody else's stuff and giving it to you is the solution. And so, you know, with this economic crisis and people out of work, what I've said, again, from the very beginning is the day you start working, and I wish I had known this. I think I've had a job pretty much every day of my life since I was 12 years old, when I went to the food town, the local grocery store, and they couldn't afford to pay me minimum wage, which was $2.50 an hour, but I was only 12 years old. And they said, we'll give you $2 an hour under the table, cash. And I go, absolutely. And I just needed some dough. And I think I've had a job every day but since then. But I wish I had known what I've been preaching to my kids, and that is every time you get paid, take 10% off the top, at least if you can afford more, take more and put it aside, start investing it. The stock market has gotten bombed in the last 2 weeks, but over the long haul, you know, if you have a 20, 30 year time horizon, it's going to produce decent returns. And if you pay yourself first, if you start doing that when you're 13, when you start collecting a paycheck, if you do it throughout your 20s, and may mean you have to skip a few happy hours with your friends, but if you pay yourself first, then when some crisis comes along, you're going to be able to handle it. And you're going to have the nest egg. And if the crisis doesn't happen, you're going to be a millionaire by the time you're 40 or 50, if you're diligent and dogged about paying yourself, taking care of yourself. But that's the message I hope really takes root out of all of this. Don't rely on the government. Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders or Joe Inns, they're not going to do anything for you because they don't care about you. They care about money and power. That's what politics is. You care about you. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Pay yourself. Don't rely on the benevolence of government to take care of yourself, because government does absolute crap like this. Our Chris Sullivan, he had an exclusive interview with the CEO of Sound Transit this morning, and it was disgusting. When everybody in the private sector is facing layoffs, losing their jobs, and look, I don't want... We got a lot of rank-and-file Sound Transit employees who listen to this show, and I don't want you to be out of work, but I don't think you should be on a special privileged level that's different from all of us in the private sector. And ridership is down 70% on Sound Transit lines.
Our ridership is down some 70%. But we're singularly fixated on serving those 30% that really need to use our service.
Okay, in the private sector, if business is down 70%, you got to cut your expenses. And your expenses are payroll. And so that's why we're seeing so many private sector people facing unemployment. But if you are a government worker, they're going to keep you on, even if you don't have work. Even if they could furlough and... Again, I'm not rooting for Sound Transit workers to lose their job. I just think you should have to deal with reality the same way every one of my listeners in the private sector has to deal with reality. But Peter Rogoff amazingly said that business is off 70%. They are still collecting the illegal car tabs. We voted for $30 tabs. They're still screwing us over with that. And they're still going to keep their payroll exactly where it is.
We don't envision any Sound Transit employees facing furloughs or layoffs. I can't speak for the other transit providers in the region. You know, I think we have to demonstrate a whole lot of compassion toward folks. We're all in this together, and we need this region to recover as quickly as it can. And having people unemployed doesn't help matters.
I have compassion. We are all in this together. You should give the people the $30 tabs that they voted for. You should reduce your expenses. Government should take the same kinds of economic hit that the private sector is. Our transportation specialist is Chris Sullivan, and he sat down one-on-one with Sound Transit CEO Peter Rogoff. Really glad you had this opportunity to sit down with him, Chris.
We had a good chance to kind of talk and kind of go over, you know, where they are, the rationale behind things, the service cuts that are coming up on Monday across all modes. And the thing I got from him is, one, you heard there in the cut that he's concerned about his employees having to face the same kind of concerns that a lot of our other listeners in the private sector have had to deal with already. But the other one is, he does have a genuine concern that at some point they're going to be facing enough of a staff shortage based on people who may be sick or actually contract the coronavirus, that they want to make sure they have enough people available to run as much transit as they possibly can so that they can keep this transit system running, because he says it's a lifeline for a lot of people whose only option for getting around is transit. And so a couple of people from community transit have already gotten the coronavirus, and so they're concerned that there might be some, you know, working through their operators, and they want to make sure they got a good bench to keep this thing operating. So there's a little bit of method there to the conversation, in addition to just saving the money from running empty trains or keeping people employed when they aren't running the trains that they're used to or the buses that they normally would be.
But it clearly does illustrate that there are two sets of rules, you know, both in terms of how we're treated and certainly economically, for the private sector and for the public sector. And, you know, while he talks about he doesn't want his employees to get hurt, and I feel bad for the employees that I think should be laid off, but there are a lot of people who don't know how they're going to pay their rent or their mortgage, don't know how they're going to pay their utility bills, and they get a $600 car tab bill in the mail after having voted for $30 tabs. And all of this because government refuses to make any cuts at all. And it is, I mean, this is just patently unfair in my
view. Well, you know, and I see that side of this equation as well. Now, I know Mr. Rogoff would probably counter by saying the people the most vulnerable in our community also are the ones that rely on transit the most, and so it's good to make sure we have a robust amount of people ready to handle the job. But I understand that if we're in this all together, as he said as we were discussing this today, you know, you can't avoid the cuts, you would think, in the private public sector to match those, or at least to have some pain there to match what the rest of the community is going through.
Yeah, but I mean, the number of the percentage of Sound Transit employees who are responsible for the day-to-day operations to keep the buses and trains rolling, it is a tiny percentage of their total payroll. And what I'm talking about is all of these people who are working on building out to Linwood and to the east side and things that aren't going to get done for 5 or 6 years anyway, and in the case of Linwood, for 15 years. It would hurt our society zero if they said, okay, instead of 15 years, it's going to be 16 years, but we're going to do the layoffs, we're going to reduce our expenses, we're going to reduce the tax burden on private citizens who are hurting desperately. Yeah, I understand. Keep who you need to keep the buses rolling. But the gigantic percentage of their project is for these distant future projects, and there's absolutely no reason why they couldn't delay that and have corresponding furloughs or layoffs and save the taxpayers some money right now.
And that's something we did talk about. We talked about whether or not they would postpone or put on hold the construction projects that they have. And to be fair, the most of the people from Sound Transit, the people that are working on those projects, are not Sound Transit employees. I mean, they're contractors, they're subs. I mean, some of the big ones,
sure,
like Hoffman,
yeah,
Construction, Skanska, those guys are still, you know, they would have to make the call on that, but they are in discussions about things like that because sickness is starting to hit potentially some of those employers, and they're talking to make sure that their contractors and subs all follow guidelines. In fact, Peter Rogoff told me today that they were going to be enforcing some more or putting down some more guidelines for those contract employees. And most of those big projects, you know, East Side Link Light Rail going to Linwood, those would be people in the construction side of things that aren't necessarily Sound Transit employees. But your point is well taken.
Yeah, it's still our tax money that's paying for all of this. All right, great stuff, Chris. I always appreciate it. And these have been busy times. Hope you have a relatively relaxing weekend.
Well, you know, I'm ready to go for whatever needs to be done. Going to hopefully have some family time. And we'll see what the next hours and days bring. We really don't know. It's really uncharted.
It is crazy. All right. You've been doing great, great work. I appreciate it, Chris.
Anytime, Dory.
Thank you. All right. Chris Sullivan, who got a one-on-one with Sound Transit CEO Peter Rogoff today. I'd love to know, what do you think? That while the private sector is projecting huge unemployment spikes, Jay Inslee, Dow Constein, Jenny Durkin, Peter Rogoff, they will make no cuts in government right now. And what a slap in the face to the heart. I mean, because government doesn't produce anything. Government is a non-productive, and I don't mean that as an epithet. It is factual. You know, in the private sector, you take raw material and you turn it into, you know, an iPhone that people want to spend hundreds of dollars on. And that's what the private sector do. We add value to materials and to things. That's what I do. I add value for my sponsors. The government doesn't do that. And so the most non-productive element of our society is going to suffer zero economically while those of us who pay the taxes and fund them are suffering greatly. It's shameful. And it should be another reminder. We need a dramatic reordering of things coming out of all of this. And, you know, there will be times, there will be days and weeks and months when we can talk about that. But we can't continue down this pathway, and I hope people's eyes are opening to all of that. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I've been trying to open up the phone lines every day, and I would like to do that right now. I'm going to open up the lines to you, but hold on, before you call in, specifically, I have been hearing from hundreds and hundreds of Boeing employees. You're very upset that you got to still go to work when so many other businesses are telling their workers to stay home. Same thing's happening. Look, we need our grocery stores. I think that our grocery stores and Costco are essential. But I'm hearing the same thing from a lot of Costco employees. And if you are somebody who is afraid to go into a close quarter workplace like Boeing, like Costco, but you're still mandated to do so, I want to hear from you. That and everything else that's on your mind, we open up the phone lines for you. 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476. Let's talk, you and me. Go to your calls coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Text get to you in time, Sean?
I got it about 20 seconds before I could actually do anything. So unfortunately, this is not the Cascade. This is just the instrumental of the Cascade version with Deadmau5.
Do you think we could segue into it?
Oh, I could probably do that.
You can do anything. You're Sean Dettori.
Well, thank you.
You're like the greatest engineer board op in the history of the medium.
Wow, what kind of painkillers are you on for that knee, Dory?
You know what? That was me sober as a judge, Sean.
All right. All right, I'm going to try and do some mixing here.
Of course, we did have a Supreme Court justice who drove drunk a few years ago. But no, go ahead.
All right, here's my DJ skills coming out.
All right, let's hear it. Nice. Remember the good old days in America? When on a Friday afternoon, Sean, we would just be planning to wrap up the show, climb aboard an Alaska flight to Vegas, go to the club, Deadmau5, be DJing.
That's right.
See the ladies.
All I can do is
look, because I'm a happily married man, but I could be your wingman.
Okay.
This is what we used to do before the coronavirus. Sean and I, every Friday, we'd fly down to Vegas, go to the clubs. Because of my sheer, pure animal magnetism, I would bring the ladies in, and then Sean, what we call in the sales biz, was the closer.
That's right. You know my motto, Dory. ABC, always be closing.
I do know that. Bring this up! Let's go full here! Let's remember America, where we could go clubbing right after the Friday shows. And then, after a few dances, Sean and I would go to Gallagher's Steakhouse at New York, New York, get one of those 2-inch thick porterhouses. They sous vide them there to make sure that the center is the 135 degree medium rare that we both like.
And you know what's funny about that Gallagher's place is in the middle of eating those lovely, lovely 2-inch steaks, Gallagher would come out with a giant mallet and just take care of the rest of the steak for you if you couldn't finish it.
I do remember that. That was awesome.
I know. All that, blood and red meat was everywhere.
But we had our tarps. We were always ready for it. But now, in Trump's America, Sean and I just have to go home after the show today.
Yeah. Now we're just gambling with our lives.
Yes, exactly. Way to put a bow on that little package. Okay, I've opened up the phone lines. I've been hearing from hundreds of Boeing and Costco workers, very upset that you got to go to work. Let me find the latest news here. Jason Rantz, our colleague, came on with us yesterday because Costco corporate had this bizarre policy. They said, yeah, but a bunch of you in corporate could work from home. But since our warehouse workers can't, then none of us will. And it turns out a Costco corporate employee has died. And they, according to Jason, tested positive. We don't have confirmation that it was coronavirus that is the cause of death. But what a bizarre decision if you have workers who could work from home and you said because of equity. And that's where, you know, I say political correctness is going to kill all of us. But if you're one of those employees, if you're nervous, because it's really weird because a lot of people would love to be able to go into work. And then there are a lot of people who are being told you have to come in and they're nervous. And let me just say, before I go to these calls, and the line is 888-973 Cairo, if you want to call in. God bless our grocery store workers, Costco workers, these people who are coming in contact with hundreds of customers. And we got to keep the grocery stores open. And then you got to panic if people can't just pop down and get some food. But there are a lot of people who work in these stores. And I have such admiration. And that's why I say, when I say my prayers, you are in them. Because you're a vital part of keeping things rolling, keeping things as normal as possible in these incredibly abnormal times. And so for all our grocery store workers and others, there are other industries as well. But we appreciate it. And I know that it's unsettling and unnerving. So let's grab a couple of your phone calls if you want to jump in on this. 888-973 Cairo is the number to call. And Anthony is a Boeing employee. Anthony, you're on the Dory Monson Show. Anthony, you there? Oh, hold on. Hold on. This is on me. Hey, Sean, I'm in the wrong mode to punch up the calls. Can you punch up Anthony for me there?
All right, he's ready.
All right. Okay, Anthony, sorry about that. I got you now.
That's right. How's it going, Dory?
Fantastic, Anthony.
So, yeah, Boeing is lying to the media and lying to employees about this. There's more confirmed cases than what Boeing is letting out. Boeing is also lying about the extra cleaning precautions that they're taking. The union essentially is in cahoots, saying, oh, you know, co-signing all of this. Morale is absolutely in the gutter. And we've sat and watched. There's been absolutely no extra cleaning going on around there.
Let me jump in, Anthony. Why? And I have to be somewhat careful because, you know, I can't get into, you know, a place where we're slandering a company. But I think you're fine, everything you've said. Why would the union that is collecting dues from you to represent you and your coworkers, why in the world would they be in cahoots with management on something like this?
Well, when you've got high-up business reps, the president of the union, that, you know, I think it's a pretty unanimous agreement between union members that they're probably getting some sort of kickback from the company, and you can see it on the shop floor. What we're being told and what is actually happening are two very different things.
So,
there's no extra cleaning supplies. There's no extra PPP out on the shop floor for us. Yesterday, there was a confirmed case in my building. They didn't even clear out the aircraft. They had a couple of guys come down, wipe out the tooling, and it was back to work.
Well, so let me ask you, Anthony, when you go on an individual level, when you go to your supervisor with this, what do they tell you?
So direct quote from my supervisor is, we are mushrooms. We're kept in the dark and we're fed a bunch of poo, for lack of a better word.
I appreciate that. Well, I'm hearing that from an awful lot of your coworkers, and it'll be interesting to see if they just try to set things aside for a while. I know Boeing has already talked, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Anthony. I know Boeing has talked about how economically devastating it would be if they shut things down, but I'm telling you, and I appreciate it. We have such a great, fantastic group of Dory Monson Show listeners who work at Boeing all the shifts, and I, you know, I've heard you got our show, you know, blasting through the shop while you're working. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you. It'll be interesting to see if Boeing makes some changes, because I cannot tell you how many employees I'm hearing from. Let me take a real quick time out. I'll grab a couple more of your phone calls, and then we'll wrap things up for a very eventful week. Jay Inslee press conference scheduled for 4:30. See if there are any other restrictions. You'll hear that live here on Cairo Radio. Lots more straight ahead as our special coverage continues. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a week, what a show, what a week, what a week, what a show. Speaking of, and down the stretch we come, let me just flip my TV over here. I'm going to just see. The one sport that is still going in America is horse racing. I'm just flipping over to see if they're running still.
We were watching bowling the other night.
Holy mo! Yeah, that was on tape. That was record. I love bowling. Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. What's more disgusting than a bowling alley for spring? Yeah. Golden Gates is running right now. Santa. This is awesome. I might have to fire up the old TVG account tomorrow morning.
Wait, they are in play California? The That's not allowed. I don't think it's allowed.
No, they are. No, Golden Gates in the Bay Area and Santa Anita. They're both right. It's the only sport that is still going in America is horse racing. And they're probably making a killing because right now, you know what today would have been? This is why this is one of my sadnesses, Nicole. I've talked in years past, and you've heard it. I have thought about taking the Thursday and Friday, the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, as vacation days. Because it's a great day. You can watch hoops from 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. And I've really thought about taking those days off. So here, for the first time in my professional career, I'm actually at home on what would have been the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, and there are no games to play. So aww. That's the way it goes. All right. Nicole, Sean, thank you for everything all week. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend.
You too.
Done a great job. Great, great job. And for you listening, thank you for hanging with us. We have just gotten confirmation Jay Inslee is not going to order a shelter in place at the 4:30 press conference. You will still hear that press conference here on 97.3 Cairo FM. It's been a crazy week. If there's anything that pops this weekend, we'll jump on the air with you. Otherwise, I'll see you back here Monday. High noon. God bless you. Hello.
Hey, Mr. Miyagi, we did it! We did it! All right! Woo!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.